This is an important announcement for anyone who wants health insurance, even if you missed the deadline. Right now, you can get the health insurance you and your family need from top insurance providers, even if you have pre-existing conditions or no insurance at all. The Plus Benefits Health Insurance toll-free number has been extended to help anyone who wants health insurance coverage now, or if you need a better plan or a lower price. Call Plus Benefits Health Insurance now at 800-332-1993. The call is 100% free and the help is real. Call 800-332-1993. That's 800-332-1993.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Thank you for tuning into Tomorrow for the weekend of Friday, March 5th, 2021. It's our 26th year on the air. And why do we always give the Friday dates going into the weekends?
Because our stations, some air them on Saturday, some on Sunday, some on both days. Or if you can listen anytime during the year, you'll know what show we're talking about if you want to go back and check our website for more information.
You might be hearing our stream 7 weeks from now and saying, March 5th? What was so important about that date? Well, that happened to be this week's show.
Or you could be listening 7 years from now to an old podcast.
True.
In which case, is COVID done yet?
Oh, my gosh. Let's hope we're going to say, remember back then, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
When Dave had no voice?
Yeah.
And all I wanted for my birthday, which is now, thank you for remembering.
I was about to say, I was waiting for a pause in the action here to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thanks, but we can't pause on the radio because then it's dead air and it sounds like this.
Well,
see, and then we have board operators all around the country panicking.
It just seemed a little awkward to go right from COVID to your birthday, so I was trying to find a better segue.
I was trying to think in terms
of tech, you know, segue,
still alive to celebrate it, in spite of the lack of voice. 2 months is the longest I've ever had a throat issue like this. And that's why the doctors are saying they all think it's post-COVID related. Well, great. What else is new? My elbow hurts. Oh, post-COVID. Oh, please. Come on. How many more things are we going to blame on it?
Everything.
Haven't had the flu, though. I don't think anybody's had the flu.
I don't think so.
And of course, some people attribute that to everybody social distancing and wearing masks, so we're not spreading the flu around. So, yeah, or colds.
And I've been telling people to social distance away from me forever. So it's, I was doing it before it was cool.
You were and still are.
Yeah.
So how about that? Tech news and commentary, and then we'll get to your calls. Donald in North Carolina, standing by, among others.
AT&T announced that it would be spinning off its TV business, including DirecTV, AT&T TV, and Uverse.
Does anybody care?
No. In a deal that it claimed would greatly benefit the company's customers, employees, and shareholders. Now, the deal provides AT&T with a $7.8 billion cash infusion to pay down debt and recent wireless spectrum purchases.
Why don't they discount our internet connection then?
Yeah. And a 70% stake in the quote-unquote new DirecTV. But it also values the entire operation at around $16.25 billion, which is a massive loss from the $67 billion that AT&T paid just a few years earlier just for DirecTV.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think it's safe to say they've kind of taken a hit.
I think so. Hope you don't own any AT&T stock.
And frankly, I'm surprised DirecTV is still a thing.
Yeah, me too. I don't know of anybody that even has it anymore. You know, or any satellite.
I still have the dish on my house from like 3 years ago. It's just because I don't want to pay anybody to come and take it down.
No, there you go. Yeah, I still have, I think, a dish satellite receiver. Haven't used them in forever.
We just a month ago took your Voom satellite dish off your house.
Show of hands, how many people remember Voom?
How many people even know what Voom is or was?
I'll bet we've got some people listening. And if you're the first one to call in and tell me about Voom and if you used it and what you used it for, we'll send you a prize. How about that? 800-899-INTO, or use our Into Tomorrow app. But we want to hear you. Don't just send an email or a text. We want to hear you talk about Voom, and I'll get you a good prize.
The only hint we'll give you is it was the first of its kind. There you go.
Okay. We can live with that. You were talking about AT&T, DirecTV, TV stuff. Well, do you like really big TVs?
Yes.
Of course. Don't we all? Size does matter. Do you have a spare $156,000?
No.
Well, see, if you did, Samsung announced a 110-inch 4K micro LED TV, and it's on sale for $156,000. Normally closer to $200,000.
Oh.
They also teased a 76-inch size to go with the 88 and 99-inch models that are, of course, a little less money. But I would say, hey, go for the $156,000 one if you like 110-inch.
And you want, you know, four mortgages on your house to pay for it.
Well, or you just need to move because you don't have a big enough house to put it in.
Yeah, well, that's how you know you're a true tech enthusiast, is if you buy a house based on the tech you have.
Yes.
Buy a house to fit your TV, not a TV to fit your house.
But look what we've been doing with our homes. We've been retrofitting our homes to be a lot smarter, more tech. And sometimes it gets carried away because we also have a lot of tech failures as a result. How many times we've asked Alexa or Google Home to turn on or off a light or something, and it just doesn't. And how many times you have to reset your, air quotes, smart plugs that aren't so smart, and things like that. So it's a double-edged sword, but I'd still rather have the tech.
Me too.
Okay.
NASA's brand new Perseverance rover is the most advanced machine that's ever landed on Mars. But when it comes to rovers, state-of-the-art is a subjective term. Perseverance is running on none other than a PowerPC 750, single-core 233 megahertz processor with just 6 million transistors that's most famous for powering the original Bondi Blue iMac from 1998.
Wow! You would think that they would have had a more modern CPU, but for this mission?
Well, apparently Mars' atmosphere offers far less protection from harmful radiation than Earth, and a bad burst of radiation can badly wreck the sensitive electronics of modern processors, and the more complex the chip, the more can go wrong.
Okay.
Which is why they're having to use these older processors.
True.
And because of those conditions, Perseverance actually features two computing modules. One is a backup just in case something goes wrong, which is standard operating procedure at NASA. That's something they do all the time. You always have a redundant system for everything.
Yeah, true. Wow. Well, see, that explains it then. Now I understand why they're using old technology.
Yeah, well, it's just like when you think about the flight that went to the moon. It had less computing power than an iPhone.
Yeah, or a smartphone in general. Because everything isn't iPhones, you iPhoney.
Yes, it is. So iPhones, iPads, iWatches, yeah.
No, iPhoney is what you're talking about. Did you know that plants set a bedtime alarm?
No.
Okay, well, listen up. You might set an alarm to wake up, but turns out plants set an alarm to go to sleep. Humans sleep in part to store up energy for the day. However, plants use their bedtime alarm to let them know when to start storing up energy so that they can survive the night. I don't know how techy that is, but I found it fascinating and wanted to share it with our audience. And since you're a green thumber, growing all kind of stuff in your backyard, this guy, I want our audience to know, grows more pineapples than anyone I've ever known. Even, I mean, he could start a pineapple farm. How many do you have now in your backyard?
I have about 12 to 14 pineapple plants in my backyard.
And they always grow pineapples, and they're tastiest, juiciest, wonderfulest pineapples ever.
And I have a few coconuts.
Great on pizza.
And I have a few coconut trees that I've grown from seeds. So I tell people that I've got my pina colada farm.
You do. Boy, do you ever. But he's also growing disgusting stuff, too, like kale and jalapenos. Oh, my gosh. He's got a lot of stuff in his backyard. It's really weird.
Yeah, well, it gave me something to do during the pandemic.
And I tell you what, whenever I've gone over to the house when you have Cam on your Cam weekends, he is the first thing he wants to do. He's so proud to take me out to the garden and tell me about everything. Of course, he's reading the labels you've put on everything, but I act like I don't know you've put labels on them. How do you know that? He said, because look at the plant. See, it's a corn plant. And then you had to say, that's on the left.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the only reason I put the labels is because I can't remember what I plant. So I have to put the labels for me to remember what's there.
But you're growing tomatoes and you're growing everything. Just everything that I grow.
One of the good things about living in South Florida, we've got a year-round growing season for everything.
Yeah, very true. Oh, and you've probably heard some states may soon expand the availability of a program that uses digital cards to smartphones to verify users' COVID-19 vaccination status. New York State tested the Excelsior Pass at recent sporting events at Madison Square Garden and in Brooklyn's Barclays Center. So we're going to see that, which I hope is a good thing, because to this moment, since I've had both shots of the Pfizer vaccine, I have to just carry this goofy card that's bigger than any other card in my wallet. So it's not convenient either. I mean, I've taken a picture of it and I carry that on my phone, but who knows? And they're easily doctored with Photoshop and stuff. So at some point, though, I'm assuming this Excelsior Pass is something a little more authentic and legit, and probably we would need to travel internationally or at least get back into the country. Something to think about, but hopefully it'll continue to progress.
Yeah. Instagram mistakenly and temporarily hid the like counts for a large swath of users this past week, and people lost their minds.
I'll bet. I wondered why I didn't get so many likes on some of my Instagram posts.
Yeah. Well, the change came with no warning or explanation. Instagram users simply logged on, went to check to see how many people appreciated their latest post, which of course is another thing that's wrong with social media.
Yeah.
And instead of text revealing the exact number of likes their post had gained, users were merely told that it was liked by some so-and-so account and others.
Yep.
This change affected everyone in users' feeds as well, so they couldn't see how many likes other people's Instagram posts got either. Now, according to Instagram, this expansion of a test that has been in place for many users for months was entirely unintentional, as evidenced by its prompt reversal a few hours after it went live. A Facebook spokesperson, who of course owns Instagram, said, "We've been testing a new experience to hide likes on feed posts. Earlier today, we unintentionally added more people to the tests, which was a bug."
I like how they say yeah. It was a bug.
Of course, all this does is prove my point, you know, that I've been saying for years, is that people are way too reliant on the number of likes they get on a post.
I like a lot of likes. Nothing wrong with that.
I know, and you know, 'cause every day you're like, have you seen my story on Facebook? No, I don't look at stories.
Well, because you know what? I use stories on Instagram and Facebook more than I do other posts. I mean, I'll put the occasional post on both, but I like to make people smile. So if you are my friend on Facebook or you follow me on Instagram, check out my stories where you just tap the little thing. They're always, a few seconds, like 10, 15 seconds, but it's always something to make you smile or make you think or just chuckle or I can't believe Dave said that or posted that kind of thing.
Well, I figure if you want me to see something, you'll post it as a post. Because if I see your story, then you see that I see your story. And I don't need people keeping track of me and what I'm looking at. Google does that enough.
Oh, well then, jeez. Of course, we were talking about plants sleeping a couple of minutes ago, but we've also been talking a lot more on Into Tomorrow about sleep trackers lately. Well, now Google's Sleep API is using an artificial intelligence model to track user sleep patterns. Google says the feature will conserve battery life, centralizing data collection and analysis within a single application programming interface, rather than using independent algorithms from multiple apps. That description alone would put me to sleep.
Yeah.
So I hope we didn't lose anybody that's now... Chris, wake up! Yeah, wake up. We got a show to do. We're still on the air. So just in case you care about the Google Sleep API, there we go. We tell you how to sleep. Donald in Franklinton, North Carolina, listens on News Radio 680 WPTF. Hello, Donald. Welcome into tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a Windows 10, and I've been using HelloFace for login, and all of a sudden it stopped working. So I went out and got a new camera after upgrading the Windows 10 software, and that did not seem to resolve the issue. So I've tried Googling and tried 10 or 20 different things to try to get it fixed, and it's still not working. When I try to go and set it up, it is not able to open the camera, is the message I get.
Well, Donald, so you tried all those other things. You should have just called us first. I hope we can help you. It does sound like your issue is with the way Windows is accessing the cameras themselves. There are a few potential sources for that problem. It could be drivers. It could be explicit permissions. Or it could be some software that's actually blocking access.
Now, the permissions are the easiest to check, so we'll start with that. You can go to Start and Settings, and you should see an option for Privacy. Within Privacy, there should be an option for Camera with a switch to mark whether or not you want to allow apps to access the camera. Make sure that's turned on and that access is allowed. Now, drivers get a little trickier. The easiest first thing to try is to go to Updates and make sure that you're fully up to date. If you're not, update and restart and try again.
Yeah. Now, failing that, you can still go to your Start menu and search for Device Manager. Look for a branch called Camera or Imaging Devices, it might say, and expand that. Within it, you should be able to see your cameras. If you can't, go to the Action menu at the top of the window and click on Scan for Hardware Changes and see if it's picked up. If it does, you should be able to install the drivers and get it working from there.
Yeah, there could also be software like an antivirus or anti-malware app blocking your camera from working. You should check your antivirus to see if there's a well-meaning privacy option blocking access to your camera. If that's the case, just turn it off.
There you go. Good thing we have a commercial break. My smartwatch is saying, try standing up. Time for some exercise. We'll be right back.